Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by the ever-present Greg Burley, it feels. Later on in the show, Gab Marcotti and Jurgen Klinsmann will be joining us to reflect on Juventus' 3-1 victory over AC Milan. We start, though, in the Carabao Cup semi-final, the Manchester derby, and it's Manchester City who are through to yet another final after beating United at Old Trafford by 2-0. John Stones, who was excellent throughout, getting the opener in the second half. Fernandinho guaranteeing a place in the final as it finishes City 2, United 0. Craig, the best team won.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't quite the scintillating football we saw from City at Stamford Bridge, but it was wasn't far behind it. Rodri got a rest, Bernardo Silva got a rest, in came Mahrez, who, I have to say, was pretty poor, a bit of a passenger for them, and they still managed to dominate with him. And still no Aguero, and we were talking about it, if he gets up and running to full speed, that's another big string to their bow. City, United couldn't get near them. Here we have Man United with another final to get to. That's his fourth semi-final that he's lost. Not great. They have a full squad to pick from. I think only Phil Jones is injured. We have City who it's a good side, but they're cobbling it together because they've got their problems. Some of it self-inflicted, by the way, and that's another story. It should be dealt with, I think, by the authorities more strongly than it is. I think if players are breaking COVID rules, they should not only have to self-isolate and be fined, they should be banned for a certain period. That's another story. City, even with this team, with the movement of... And even Raheem Sterling, wasteful. City could be battering these teams still. Completely outplayed Man United. I mean, there's no getting away from it. Completely outplayed them, like they outplayed Chelsea. It was embarrassing at times. We were watching two games. We were watching the big game from Milan against Juve and the United game. And we were flicking between. And every time we looked up, it was a blue jersey hit the ball. Now and again, there was a fleeting ball over the top from Man United. But it was dominance. And if you wonder why I've been constantly, and I'm not you, but if people wonder why I've constantly been saying United have been getting results, but City are the team to beat. City and Liverpool are the teams to watch, and we saw it tonight. Another clean sheet to add to the list they've got, and they should have been one at the weekend against Chelsea, but it was a sloppy late goal late on. The defensive side of the game's good. They're controlling the middle of the park. They're starting to score goals again, and they've got Aguero to come back. So the best need to up their game in terms of the league. But in terms of the cup, City deserve to be in the final with Spurs.
Frank Leboeuf was watching that game as well for us. Frankie.
If he calls them the citizens tonight, I'm leaving. Frankie.
Frank, from Manchester United's point of view, Solskjaer went strong. Put out his best starting 11 and he would have been disappointed, wouldn't he? Especially in that second half, you feel, when it's a cup tie, you really want your players to go toe-to-toe with the best. And they didn't really.
No, they didn't in the second half. But, you know, I enjoyed the game, and mostly the first half, where you could have gone either way. We saw goals, but we saw offsides. Of course, we saw Manchester City, having mostly the possession of the ball. But Manchester United had good opportunities to counter-attack, and they did well. And they were fighting very well in the middle of the park. But second half, you know, they almost completely disappeared, you know, and most of them, and it's why I think they have a dependence of him, is Bruno Fernandes disappearing the second half. And football is made of mistakes, and that's what it is. And you concede goals because you make mistakes. The thing is, with Manchester City this season, at the back, they don't make mistakes. Stones and Ruben Dias have been absolutely fantastic tonight. And it's not the case for Manchester United, where on the first goal, I want to know what Maguire has to say about that, because he doesn't react. The ball comes close to him, he doesn't react. And the second goal, the first thing that you know when you're a defender is when you kick the ball away, you never kick the ball in the middle of the park. You kick it on the side. And when Bissaka did it, in especially Osmos on Ferdinand's feet. But yeah, Manchester City deserved to win. Manchester United, I think, suffered physically because they ran after the ball most of the time. That's what it is, you know. The best team won, but it could have been otherwise. Maybe in the first half, if Manchester United would have scored, and it would have been a different story, maybe.
Manchester United, and this is fact, Manchester United cannot live with Liverpool and Man City if they play at their best. Can't live with them, right? There'll be the odd occasion, and they've got results against City recently, because City have been wasteful in the final third. When these two teams, or put it another way, if Man United are to win the Premier League this year, and there is a chance, it will be because one or if not both of these two that I've just mentioned completely blow a gasket.
Right.
And listen, you have to be there to take that opportunity. But if these two don't blow a gasket in the second half of the season and they kick on, and we know Liverpool have had their problems of late, well documented, we also know City are gathering pace, then United can't live with them. One guy I'd like to mention for City, you know, talked about the defence and Aguero and others. Gundogan is playing some wonderful football again. He was in and out the side for a bit, you know, has had some injury problems. He's just knitting that midfield. You know, you've got Fernandinho and then you've got De Bruyne floating about. He's just knitting the two of those at the moment together wonderfully. He's so good on the ball. He's got such good poise and balance and he really gives it away. He thought he got himself a goal again. He was just offside. He scored a wonderful goal at the weekend at Stamford Bridge. He's playing as well as anybody in this Manchester City side.
If I said to you at the start of the season that John Stones would be picked ahead of Emre Laporte, right, well, that wasn't even a conversation.
No.
Like, what has happened?
And I've always thought, and I've always said, I think John Stones is an excellent footballer. John Stones has had, and he's made a lot of mistakes. And for defenders, as Frank will tell you, when you make mistakes at the back, you get punished, it gets highlighted. I don't know the ins and outs, apart from the injuries, which has been clear, and the lack of confidence. But even his manager mentioned it recently, he's had off-the-field issues.
Right.
That I can't go into because I don't know the full detail. I know a little bit, but I wouldn't talk about it. So his mind's not been completely on the ball. And for a player at elite level, it's difficult to go in and prepare yourself for a game every day, every week, when you've got other issues you're trying to fix in your life, whatever it may be. And it takes a focus away. Because you might even be thinking about it during the game. I'm telling you, it happens. But it looks to me as if he's got a clear mind, his body's a lot better, he's making much better decisions. We know he's a talented player. We know he's good on the ball. We know he's, as Guardiola, I won't mention the word Guardiola used about him, but he's got the stomach for taking the ball out and taking chances. And he's starting to cut the mistakes out. And I think it's a surprise to his manager as well. But it's a welcome surprise that him and Diaz look as if they've forged a really good partnership. And then I like João Cancelo as well. He's not the greatest defender out there, but he's wonderful on the ball. I mean, he really is a player when you think about, when you talk about a Guardiola system where sometimes the right back or the left back pushes into midfield and the centre back goes out wide, whatever, and everybody pushes on, he's perfect for that, Cancelo, because he can do things almost like a natural midfielder can do when he gets the ball in there.
Frank, just picking up on Craig's point regarding that partnership that has developed now between Ruben Dias and John Stones, I suppose it helps Stones to have someone like Dias who has been brilliant, hasn't it? What a great signing.
Definitely. I mean, when you play alongside, you know, people who are sure of themselves, you know, when they feel very confident, you get a little bit of that. And it's what happened to Stones. I mean, nobody, as you said, would have thought that Laporte would go out. I mean, it was the player who'd been the most used by Guardiola and suddenly he disappeared. There is maybe a reason why behind that. But at the end of the day, Stones has been put back. And I don't know if it's, you know, the environment, Ruben Dias, but also the goalkeeper, but also Rodrigo or Fernandinho, who made him feeling very confident. And today he showed that so powerfully, you know, where, in fact, he tackles were perfect. You know, when he had the ball, he was technically perfect. The anticipation was absolutely outstanding today. He was really the leader. Even if we can talk about Ruben Dias being the leader, he was the leader of the defense tonight. That's absolutely fantastic. He was the man of the match because on top of it, he scored the goal. But really, his work defensively is great. He's perfect so far. And it's because of Dias, Ruben Dias, but also all his teammates around.
Thanks, Frank. As we mentioned earlier, then, four semi-finals in which Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has failed to advance to the final.
passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Milan suffered their first league defeat of the season. Juventus winning by 3-1 at the San Siro. Chiesa stealing the show for Juve. He was superb. He would open the scoring. AC Milan then getting the equaliser just on the stroke of half-time. A controversial one as that, as it looked like Rabiot had been fouled in the build-up. The goal, though, stood. Juve, though, turning it on in the second half. Chiesa getting his second. Wes McKennie coming off the bench to make it 3-1. Bentancur for Juve could have been sent off in the second half for what looked like a second bookable offence. It wasn't given. Juve, meanwhile, very much deserving of the 3 points. Gab Marcotti and Jurgen Klinsmann with me to reflect on this game. Jurgen, overall, it's a thoroughly entertaining tie, wasn't it?
It was an excellent game, really. It was exactly the game that we all hoped for to see. And you had Juventus with the back against the wall before that game, and we had the fear, obviously, if Milan wins it, you know, they go 4 points clear. So it was highly entertaining, and those are the games when you as a coach, you sit out there and you hope just that you have one or two difference makers on the field for you, and the difference maker today was certainly Federico Chiesa with his two goals. The way he played his game, I mean, he was inspired. He had Dybala next to him, which looked like a really comfortable couple out there. He won his one-against-one battles against Theo Hernandez, which was a key in this game. And so it went well for Juventus, and I think we all, soccer fans, are happy that the Serie A is now getting really exciting.
Juventus spent a lot of money on Chiesa in early days. Gabby was nowhere near the player they thought they'd purchased, but he was exceptional today.
No question about him. It took him a while to get going since coming over. As we know, it wasn't a very acrimonious split with Fiorentina, not least because of the rivalry between the two teams. Fiorentina fans really, really, really don't like Juve. Goes back to Roberto Baggio. When he came over, there was some question about, well, you know, where he's playing out wide in the midfield, responsibility. But tonight, it all came together, and you see why so many are so excited about him. You know, his combination of power, of pace, of technique, and really aggression, you know, willingness to run at people, willingness to go and try something, fearlessness. This is exactly what Juve need. And, you know, if you project forward a few years, when the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo or Leo Bonucci might no longer be around, and maybe Morata and Dybala too, this guy is really the person who's supposed to lead Juve forward in that direction.
And they did all this, Craig, without Ronaldo, as you mentioned, being anywhere near his best.
Yeah, and it's never easy for anybody making a big move to a big club, but particularly not one as a guy who's still pretty young at 23. With all that expectation, you walk into Juventus and all of a sudden you see all these big stars that of the Italian national team and other national teams. And it, some players, it takes them a little bit of time, but today he just, as they would say, took the bull by the horns. Mm. I mean, he was playing against Hernandez. He gave him a tough time every time. His finishing was crisp and sharp and composed. The two goals were fantastic. He could have had himself another couple that were at least one that came off the post. And he played really well. It wasn't the strongest Juventus team. I think they can thank Szczesny as well for making some good saves at important times in the game. And then there was a cross early in the second half, I think it was from a set piece, that came flashing across the six-yard box. So little moments that went for Juventus. They won't really have a gripe now with the official over that decision because they won the game. But had it gone against them, I think when we saw Pirlo at half-time, how unhappy it was, we'd have heard more about that. But that'll be brushed under the carpet. They themselves are lucky that Bentancur wasn't sent off for a second yellow. So all in all, it's been an excellent day for them. With Inter losing, they've now given Milan their first loss of the season domestically. And they've got a game in hand. So from Pirlo's perspective, it's a very happy new year.
What was different from Juve today, Gab?
I think what was different is Pirlo tweaked the way they play. I mean, we touched upon how open those first 45 minutes were. You know, both teams trying to go and to go and press high to create turnovers. Both teams with a lot of quality and creating chances in the final thirds. Now, this isn't straight out of the Pirlo playbook of the possession game and the triangles and all this stuff. This is more a case of him reading the game. We knew it was going to develop a little bit like this with Milan because, of course, no natural playmaker in there with Bennacer and Tonali out. Pirlo, I think, read that perfectly and said, okay, fine, you want to go end-to-end, we'll go end-to-end with you. And that's just fine because, you know, we have probably, you know, more quality top to bottom. But I think it was also a big statement from Pirlo that, you know, with Cuadrado and Alexandro out, there was a strong suggestion that he might put another center back in there, Demiral or somebody, and you know, play Danilo on the left. Instead, he said, no, look, I believe in having a proper attacking wing back here. So Alexandro out. I'm gonna stick the kid Frabotta in there, who you know started a few games earlier this year, but has played very very little, because I believe in him, and I'd rather have a specialist in that position than just having another big name in there. That too is Pirlo. That too is a little building block in what he's trying to do and where he's trying to take Juventus.
Jürgen, we've talked about Milan overachieving a lot this season, considering what we expected from them at the start of the season. How much of this now is them going to see them regress to that mean, or how much can they point to the fact that they had so many people out for this game that they can just turn the page and look ahead to the next match?
I think they will turn the page pretty rapidly. It's no problem to have a game lost against Juventus. And obviously, they had such an impressive run over the last 7 months. It's been outstanding what they performed. They're missing still players injured and so on. So I think AC Milan is in a very good path. But I also want to mention that, you know, when we talk about Andrea Pirlo and we talk about the players coming through in the Juventus system, is he has also the courage to give a young American kid like Weston McKennie consistently chances to play minutes and often even play from the beginning on. And today was just wonderful to see how Weston comes in. He's right away part of the game. He misses a first chance and then he scores a beautiful goal at San Siro, which is a very special achievement for a young kid coming from the United States. So this is really to the credit also of Pirlo, what he's trying to create there. It will take some time until we see that kind of a bit more attacking-minded football that everybody expects to see from him step by step. But I'm just glad that, you know, things went that way today, because we see now a Serie A over the next couple of months or weeks especially being really interesting, being exciting, watching those games week in, week out.
On paper, Juventus should have won this game, shouldn't they? They got the better players.
Well, particularly with the amount of players that Milan had out. Notwithstanding the fact that Cuadrado, Alexandro and Morata were out for Juventus. But I mean, having to shift, you know, full-backs into midfield and some less experienced players. So it was there for them to go and win this game, which obviously they did. So, look, it's given them some momentum going into the new year. Juventus, they could have fallen 13 points. Yep. Was it 13 points behind? They've got that game in hand. It didn't have to be pretty. But listen, you don't have to be... If your blueprint is going to Juve, because Juve for a few years now have wanted this super, fancy Dan football, nice, pretty to watch. That's why they brought Sarri in, for whatever reason. They didn't like what they were seeing there. But it doesn't have to... You don't get results by trying to do that all the time. Can't be a one-trick pony. Sometimes you have to look at your personnel, look at where you're going, and think, OK, we need to be a bit tougher debate here today. We need to go forward maybe a little bit earlier, and we need to do the ugly side of the game. This is a match where we go in, we take the 3 points, we don't bother about playing well or not, but we do the basics, we get ourselves back on track, and then we build for the remainder of the season. And it looks to me that's what Juventus have done today. But I wouldn't be totally disheartened if I was a Milan fan.
Right.
Because they've got a very experienced manager, they've got a lot of players to come back, some big players to come back, some playmakers and some key individuals. And as long as they don't have any disasters with that, they've got a guy at the helm in Pioli who's been around a long time and he knows what he's doing.
Milan, though, remain top of the table. 1 point clear. That's after Sampdoria defeated Inter today. Meanwhile, Roma picking up a win, putting them third. Juve fourth, 7 points adrift of top spot. Jürgen, from Inter's perspective, a very frustrating day overall.
Yeah, disappointing day from Inter perspective, but you got to give Sampdoria a lot of credit. They played a very, very disciplined, very feisty, aggressive game. They were waiting for their chances. They got their chances. They scored on their chances. So I got to give them a huge compliment. From Inter side, you had 8 wins in a row. You know, it's not that bad. You know, it's happening once in a while. Obviously, it's a lost opportunity because you could have gone clear up top ahead of AC Milan now. But overall, I think, you know, they're on the right track.
A point behind this point of this stage of the season. I mean, it's never good to have a defeat, right? Particularly not when you're losing, right? You go home at night, it swirls around in your mind, but you've got to let it go. They're very much in it. They've got a good squad. As Jürgen mentioned, it's the first defeat in eight. They can score goals. One of the big pressures is that they were so bad in Europe, finishing bottom in the group,
yep,
that they're out of everything. And that's going to add a pressure to Conte, because this is a wide-open title challenge. They have spent money over the last couple of years, and he's demanded that. Now they don't really have any other thing to take their focus away in terms of a big European competition. They should really, barring a big blizzard of injuries or suspensions, they've got a squad that should be focused and going all the way.
So they're your favourites to win it all?
Well, I look at Milan, who I think they've still got the Europa League. They're in the Europa League, and there's other European competition for others. They've got a good squad. They've only got to focus domestically. I don't see why not, with Juventus having made the change in management and coming from behind. Milan have probably got more points than anybody would have expected. Can they keep that going for another second part of the season? So I think if I was on the board of Inter Milan, looking at the big picture, why wouldn't they expect to be pushing, if not winning, the championship this year, when I've mentioned all the things that are going in their favour?
The concern, I suppose, for any of those contending for the title is you start to look over your shoulders at the defending champions, Gab.
Yeah, although I think if you're Inter, you don't need to look over your shoulder that far down for the time being. Just look over your shoulder at who you're playing next. Roma. Roma, who are third in the table. Roma, who are just 3 points behind them. And, you know, the thing about Inter is, you're right, they won 8 games in a row, which is huge. And obviously they were dropping points at some point. But I don't think they were terrible in this game. They simply didn't take their chances early on. And then everything gets frenetic at the end and they can't pull it out. But Roma are flying. They have Dzeko, who's rested. You saw Mayoral, how effective he was today. All of a sudden, if you lose back-to-back games, Inter are Inter. All of a sudden, the cracks appear, the controversy appears, the pressure appears, and that run that you went on, all that good work could go out the window. I think that is the really big concern for Inter. Further back, the way the Serie A season's going, yeah, there's Juventus, who I think can get back into it. And of course, Napoli, who, you know, this disappointing defeat notwithstanding, I wouldn't count them out yet either. So I think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns between now and the end of the season.
Gab Marcotti and Jürgen Klinsmann, thank you very much for your thoughts. Just a reminder, Italian football continues this weekend. On Saturday, it starts with Benevento against Atalanta. AC Milan looking to bounce back against that defeat against Juve. They play host to Torino. Sunday, an intriguing tie. And what a way to start Sunday. Roma against Inter Milan. That game live on ESPN+. Then our late game sees Juventus take on Sassuolo.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
In La Liga, Barcelona move up to third in the table. They were made to work for it, though. They came from behind to beat Athletic Bilbao by 3-2. Pedri and Lionel Messi, very much the stars of the show for Ronald Koeman's side, as we welcome in Julian Laurent and Ali Moreno to the show. Ali, we've talked about Pedri being like the one bright spot for Barca this season, and seeing him link up with Lionel Messi will warm Barcelona fans' hearts.
Yes, it would. And when you think of Pedri and the things that he's been able to do with this team, I think what is most encouraging is the fact that he's not afraid of playing alongside Lionel Messi. We have seen players with bigger names, much bigger names, struggle to play alongside Lionel Messi. As for Pedri, he just finds a place. He finds a role. And we spoke yesterday about the fact that there is no number nine in this team, and that Ronald Koeman is complaining about that. So there's a bunch of false nines roaming all over the attacking half. One of those false nines is Pedri. And the best example of that is his goal today, in that the two guys that combine for the goal are Frenkie de Jong running out of the midfield and Pedri supporting the play from the midfield as well, as Lionel Messi had dropped into a playmaking position. If you have enough of that for Barcelona, then maybe you don't have to search for a number nine. The problem is that it doesn't happen consistently enough. As for Pedri, that combination with Lionel Messi in the second goal, understanding where Messi is going to go, the backheel, the vision, the execution of the idea, it tells you there is a bright future for this guy. And as long as he continues to lean on Lionel Messi and Lionel Messi trusts him as a player, Barcelona is going to do a lot of good things in the final third.
Jules, are we starting to see this Koeman side develop?
Yes, but again, I think in his confirmation, we've seen at times them playing quite well, and then the next game it was a disaster again, and Koeman was messing things up and everything. So I think there were some really positives of the game tonight. There were some more negative things, especially defensively, also in midfield in that second half, in the second part of the second half. But certainly going forward, that relationship between Pedri and Messi is something that they have to build on, because they clearly have that natural understanding. It's pretty special. And Pedri, let's not forget, is 18 and 42 days. 18 years old. Wow. And he has that intelligence, the awareness, finding the space, his movement. He doesn't even need to look now, and he can find Messi, and Messi can find him as well. So that has to be the biggest positive of the night, is again, that bromance between them two being blossoming again.
Ali, are we seeing baby steps to Barca be where they want to be under Koeman?
Baby steps, yes. We're crawling. We're not quite walking just yet. It's too soon to get excited about Barcelona, because we have seen that this team has flaws, even in today's game. The fact that once again they start the game trailing, it is incredible to think of the fact that Barcelona, this season in La Liga, over half of their games, they started conceding the first goal. It's very difficult to play from behind. And this is only the second time this season in La Liga in which they've been able to come back, the first time against Real Sociedad and tonight against Athletic Club Bilbao. The truth is that Barcelona right now is not good enough to continue to do that. So defensively, they have to be better. The spaces behind the midfield line and in front of their back line is just too wide. It's just too big. They're too separated. And they're not good enough in 1v1 defending in order to be able to address, in this case, Iñaki Williams. That, yes, he goes on a long run, but there's some defending to be done from Clement Lenglet. Impossible to do that. He's unable to keep up with the space, with the speed of Iñaki Williams. He cuts to the inside, and all of a sudden it's 1-0 Athletic Bilbao. That is discouraging. And when you think about how they closed out the game, they cannot withstand and sustain the level of energy they had for the middle part of the game. They cannot do it for 90 minutes. So they have to get more consistency over the course of 90 minutes, and then we can talk about this team moving forward.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. More from Ali on tomorrow's show. Ian Dark with us as well. Be sure to tune in. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mauricio Pochettino's first game in charge of PSG would end in a draw, his side going behind early. Moyes King getting the equaliser, but they were far from their best today. Second in the table, 3 points adrift of Lyon. Jules, how would you sum up this game?
I mean, he only had two training sessions before the game tonight, so I don't think we were expecting or could have expected something completely different, that already expecting to see Poch's his touch on that team, that will come. But I think we have to be a bit patient. We saw Marco Verratti playing a bit higher up on the pitch in a more of a playmaker role than deeper like he used to before. A team that lacked a lot of energy in the second half. They looked tired. Like I said, they only came back from holidays on Sunday, much later than a Saint-Etienne team with a lot of youth, for example, and a lot of energy and intensity. So again, that's something you could expect, that Pochettino will build up that energy, that intensity in the next few days and few weeks. This game they could have won, they had chances in the second half to win it, they could have lost it because Saint-Etienne played really well, they were certainly the better side. I think Poch would be happy that he didn't lose it, which would have been, of course, even worse. But there's certainly a lot of work for him to do on the training ground, on the training pitch, when he will have the time, because the games will come very quickly. They've got another one at the weekend. And after that, they play 12 games in 50 days. So I don't think he would have much time to work. But for tonight, I don't think we could have expected much, much more than that.
Yeah, Jules, come on. If it was Thomas Tuchel, you'd be tearing him apart.
No way. Listen, he had 10 players missing. There was no Icardi, no Neymar, no Kimpembe, neither of the fullbacks. There was a lot of players missing. And again, what do you expect? He's been there 3 days, two training sessions. I don't think you could see something, you know, magical or miracles. Kylian Mbappe had a disappointing game, and when Kylian Mbappe is not on a good day, when he carries the ball too much, tries to make the difference on his own, and it doesn't work, then of course you find yourself in a more difficult position. Di Maria was not good either. I think it was one of those games when you come back from a winter break, where you have hardly trained, and you come back from holidays not long ago, and if on top of that you've got a new manager, that's a lot of things that are not going your way, really. So, I think it's a draw. He will take that. They will take that. And then they'll move on to the next one, hoping to be better and improve in the meantime by working at training.
Juliana Ron, thank you very much. More from Jules, of course, on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops on Thursday.
I don't actually think that's social distancing. I just don't think they like each other.
Well, probably not.
So I think when all this is over, hopefully very soon, they'll still be sitting that far apart.
Yeah, it's a bit weird to be sat that close anyway, just in general.
Sorry?
Though, isn't it? Like, you would prefer to sit that far away from Gab.
Yeah, well, there is that.
Of course, big talking points today. AC Milan's first defeat of the season and Manchester City booking a place in another League Cup final.
Yeah, I enjoyed City's performance again. I think it's ominous for the rest in terms of the league. If they keep that up, obviously the Carabao Cup final is themselves against Spurs now.
Yep.
Spurs have had the better of them this season, but they're hitting top form, they're defending well. From the big game in Italy, Ronaldo wasn't the story. You know, AC Milan came into it with a lot of problems with the COVID and injuries. Juve had their own problems, but it was their signing from Fiorentina, Chiesa, who stepped up and played brilliantly.
Yeah, he was superb. Craig, thank you very much. More from us tomorrow. Be sure to join us then. Until then, goodbye.